Our lesson tonight is out of Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, among other passages, of course. Paul's persistence amid ministry obstacles. The book of Acts explains the orderly and sovereignly directed progress of the kingdom message from Jews to Gentiles and from Jerusalem to Rome. So we can learn a lot about aligning our ministry efforts with God's sovereign work from studying the book of Acts. Well, Acts chapter 28, 30 to 31, among other passages, records Paul's persistence amid ministry obstacles that he faced once he arrived in Rome and awaited trial before Caesar. So we view the passage for our insight and application. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at it. Acts 28, 30 and 31. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and he received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence or with all boldness, no man forbidding him or hindering him. Acts 28, verses 30 and 31 with Acts 28, verse 16 closes the book of Acts, reporting that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house under house arrest while he was waiting to be tried before Caesar. And the Caesar here was Nero. Incidentally, at this particular time, Nero, though he was ruling on the throne, was ruling rather quietly. His real bad side didn't come out later until there was a big fire in Rome, and he had to blame it on somebody, so he blamed it on the Christians and went after them. That happened in 64 AD. This is earlier. This is between 60 and 63 AD, where the Apostle Paul was in Rome at this particular time. So during the time he received all who visited or came to him, and he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, discipling people in the things of Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Well, knowing that they could not get a verdict of guilty, his accusers probably never showed up and therefore lost the case by default. Paul would then have been released and become free to engage in ministry once again. However, when he was released, he had a maximum of only 7 years of life left, because then he was going to be martyred. So he didn't know it at the time, but if he was going to do anything for Christ, he'd have to speed up and get it done. Well, though he was confined to house arrest, and though having faced the failure of his countrymen even in Rome to respond positively as a whole to the gospel of Christ, Paul persisted in his ministry efforts while awaiting trial for 2 years, doing his best to make the most of his time under house arrest to minister for the Lord. The prison epistles of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were written during this time of Paul's house arrest in Rome, and these epistles were full of significant content for the church. The great theme of Paul's letter, for example, to the Ephesians is God's eternal purpose to establish and complete his body, the church. And Paul used it to discuss important truths on predestination in Ephesians 1, 3 to 14, Christ's headship over the body, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, the church as the building and the temple of God in Ephesians 2, 21 and 22, the mystery of Christ in Ephesians 3, 1 to 21, and spiritual gifts in Ephesians 4, 7 to 16. And the church, of course, is introduced as the bride of Christ. Now, in Philippians, Paul wrote the doctrinally important passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8 of the kenosis. That's the self-humiliating or self-emptying of Christ. Significant verses on prayer are chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. And the other favorite verses include chapter 1, 23, 21, chapter 3, verses 10 and 20, chapter 4, verses 8 and 13, and a significant autobiographical sketch appears in chapter 3, verses 4 to 14. That's where Paul talked about how he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was born in the tribe of Benjamin, and he counted all of that as loss that he might gain Christ. Now, in his letter to the Colossians, Paul wrote of the supremacy and the all-sufficiency of Christ. And the important subjects include Christ's person and work in chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, heresy in chapter 2, 8 to 23, and believers' union with Christ in chapter 3, 1 to 4. Philemon was the most personal of all of Paul's letters that appear in the scripture canon. but it provided a landmark guide on how Christian masters and slaves could live their faith within the evil system of slavery that plagued the culture in his era. Well, remarkably, the window of opportunity for Paul to write these epistles was short, for they were penned around A.D. 60 to 63, and Emperor Nero began to persecute Christians in July of A.D. 64. So Paul's release from his imprisonment of house arrest thus left him only 4 to 7 more years of earthly life, during which time he wrote 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus before being captured and martyred in A.D. 67. In other words, all of the epistles that Paul wrote after he was released that are recorded in the canon of Scripture are just the pastoral epistles, and they're personal epistles, 2 of them to Timothy, 1 to Titus. But no more epistles that did he write during this particular time after he was released that were written to churches. So the last epistles that he had an opportunity to write to churches were written when he was during this a time when he was a prisoner. Now, after the prison epistles, we have no other epistle by Paul in the canon of Scripture that was directed to churches. Only 3 epistles and their personal letters to Timothy and Titus. Now, those letters are very, very important. I go through the pastoral epistles every weekend on Fridays just to review, see where I am with the Lord, but they're very powerful. And they were written when the church was undergoing intense persecution. So Paul's use of his time under house arrest to write these epistles was his last opportunity to form letters to churches for the canon of Scripture. That's it. That door closes. Once he's released, that's it. Now, there's a tremendous lesson within this. Paul persisted, and he persisted to minister under house arrest, greatly enriching the Scripture canon of letters to churches. Had he not used his time for this, the church down through history would have been significantly impoverished. Approximately half the New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. If he hadn't been writing during this time when he was in prison, instead of his 13 epistles, we would have had 3 less, maybe 10. And we would have been impoverished as a result. So I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul used his time. In fact, it's interesting that several times in these prison epistles, he refers to himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He recognized that the Lord had him set aside. And it was only because he was imprisoned that he would write, because he couldn't get out, so he wrote. Otherwise, he'd make a trip and he'd see the church, and we wouldn't know anything about what was going on. So the application is, may we heed Paul's example to make the most of the ministry opportunities that we have, even if we are restricted in some way. In Paul's case, his house arrest became God's springboard of extending his ministry for church history, since it forced him to have to write. And God may have an imaginative opportunity for us in our restrictions. So if you ever sense that you're restricted in some way, that cheer up. There's probably a blessing in disguise. God never wastes any time in regards to his people. He knows how to utilize us. He knows how to utilize our talents and our time for his glory. So we should always be looking for opportunities to minister at that time. Today, after the worship service, I was talking with one of the men who ministered during Vacation Bible School. And he said, you know, normally I'm a complainer. And he said, I would have reason to complain because we started off with the funeral, you know, it was for Judy Nodden when she'd passed away. Then we went into Father's Day. That was a big day. A lot of families get together on Father's Day. We go right out of Father's Day into VBS. Boom. And then he said, after VBS, we had a funeral yesterday. So he said, we had 8 days. We're chock-a-block full. But he said, it's a little tiring, but nevertheless, he says, it's a good tiring, because I was serving the Lord. And I said, yeah, you're exactly right. Debbie, which is Judy's daughter, because of the work schedule that's been upset, she could have the funeral service for her mother either on the day when we did, or she'd have to wait until the middle of July. And we felt for the family, that's way too long. So let's get it done, even though it's just before VBS, we'll go ahead with it. And we're glad that we did. But it's interesting, that whole series of events indicates that the Lord allowed us to get our schedule packed full, but nevertheless, he wanted it to function. And when we get to glory, of course, we're going to be held accountable for how we utilized our time, how we utilized our talents during that period of time. Now we're getting back into more of a normal flow of thought, a little slower, a little easier. But nevertheless, God wants us to be abounding in our work for the Lord. This morning, the electricity went out, so we couldn't record anything, but we went ahead with the ministry, boom. And then when the electricity came on, of course, I turned the amp on and blew Dave and everybody else away. We got over that. But I wanted to do that to turn the recorder on because I know Gus is going to be recording it when he gets back from Florida, if he's not already. But there's a sense of urgency. And then I'm reminded in 2 Timothy, as the Apostle Paul was close to death, in fact, he was on death row at this particular time, he made a stunning request to Timothy, showing what he was doing with his time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 13, "The cloak that I left at Troas," he was apparently arrested at Troas, "with Carpus, when you come, bring with you." Now, it was winter, it was the maritime prison in Rome, it was cold, and he didn't want to get pneumonia before he died anyway, so he said, "I need the coat." But he says, "And the books, especially the parchments were his copies of the Old Testament." Here he was on death row, and yet he still felt time. He needed to study Scripture. He wasn't wasting any time. And that's where the Apostle Paul went. I picture this man reading his Old Testament. All of a sudden, there's a clang at the door and says, "All right, it's time to go." So they take him out, and then he goes out. And Paul, according to church tradition, was beheaded on the Appian Way. But I like to think that all the way until he actually had to leave his Old Testament behind, he was reading. He was studying. And the books apparently were the parchments. Maybe he was going to do some more writing to people. He was going to go full bore until the Lord allowed his life to be taken. That's a tremendous testimony. And praise God that he did. We've got Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. So God help us to go ahead and abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord.